Many of our guests, before we start recording, ask us, can they cuss on the podcast? And we say, fuck yeah. But we discourage it anyways. Because as good as it feels to let it all out, cussing sometimes keeps people from speaking their minds.
Recently, Trump's public enemy number one, the BBC, said they're not f***ing crazy about cussing and decided to take a look into why people love to swear. Today, Brian Sweeney, who every other word is f***, joins us to take a look at taboo words, why everyone doesn't agree on what foul language is, and will newscasters in the future cuss like sailors.
Plus, a managing partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers was busy backstage tweeting photos of Emma Stone and now is getting blamed for the best picture screw up.
Teletubbies and Crazy Frog turn f***ing 20.
And Patricia Arquette is mad as hell that her sibling Alexis was left out of the Oscars in memoriam. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark f***ing Fillion.
And this is Feast of
Right now, you are listening to Feast of Fun because for the past 13 years, a listener just like you took the time to support this one-of-a-kind, in-depth program. Won't you take a moment now to ensure that Feast of Fun is around for the future? Visit feastoffun.com/plus and access all 13 years of amazing shows.
Warning, today's podcast contains strong language. Discretion is advised.
Don't forget mild nudity.
And adult themes. Brian Sweeney, you son of a bitch.
you son of a bitch. Yeah. And then we...
Welcome.
Everyone go see Predator.
Your biceps look great. God damn it. You jacked up, man.
But I do have...
Holy fuck. It's no longer a seesaw.
You're a monster.
It's no longer a saddle. It's Brian's in shape. No more chicken wings. And Mark, you're looking great.
Thank you.
Yes, Mark, you're looking good. Have you lost weight?
I have lost weight. I had the stomach flu. I lost 9 pounds.
No. Is that what you guys are calling it now? The stomach flu?
What? Listen, that's
Brian,
actually
what? Brian,
that's what? Actually what that's the first symptom that people like sometimes often get is that they get a flu that's really bad.
So, oh. Yeah. Well, yes.
But I've been, you know what? I'm not worried about it because I've been very, very safe.
Liberace said he was on a licorice diet. That's when he would say.
Are you guys
like,
talking about HIV and AIDS?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I'm not. Mike over here is.
Mike Brady.
You son of a bitch.
Yeah, Matt brought it up. Matt's got a stomach flu, or he did. But I'm glad you're feeling better.
I am
glad
feeling
everyone's
better.
Feeling better.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm putting on weight like crazy.
You look great. You don't need to change a
you
thing.
Look great.
Thank you.
Fucking great.
And we actually do get asked that a lot, especially from people who have been on reality TV shows, even though they're always cussing on those shows, you know.
Or people that go on the radio, they're like, can I swear? Like, can I swear on this? They don't know.
What they do is like while they're talking and they're like, and then it was a bunch of bullshit. Oh, can I swear on here? That's what always happens.
And I get this idea from my sister because she, you know, she's always trying to like, she's very egalitarian oriented as a school teacher. And she wants to treat people with dignity and respect.
Boo.
I know. It's a horrible person.
I'm into slave sex, so.
And she came up with a really good perspective on cussing. She said, it's like, it's not about the fact that I don't want you using those words, is that I feel like using those words is a crutch that's keeping you from fully expressing your thoughts and emotions. And that's ultimately what I say to a lot of the guests. It's like, is really cussing what you really want to say? And Brian, you say like you cuss every other word. Right?
What's your favorite cuss word?
Fuck. Shit. I don't know. Shit. My mom's favorite word is shit. She always says that. She's
my mother is like when she'd swear it was shit.
Yeah. Shit is always. I'll say in shit. When I start talking and like get into a conversation, I am constantly saying fuck and fucking. So
my father never swore. He rarely swore, but he would always say like those old things like Mr. Burns would say, like fall to raw, horse feathers,
sticks.
Horse
fiddlesticks, all that stuff.
Oh, balderdash.
That my father would say balderdash too.
And I feel like Catholics are really good at coming up with really funny cuss words.
Yes.
I think so. Yeah. Well, you know, I think also too because like a lot of Catholics are Irish,
yeah.
And the Irish are very inventive with their language because they grew up. It was a very poor society, so the only toys they had to play with was language.
Yeah, my dad would say, "Son of a sea cook." He'd say, "Son of a sea cook."
Mark, you had was this a friend of your mother's who she was so angry about something and she said a cuss word that had Madonna in it?
Oh,
it's such a funny story.
She was so mad because this is like the early 90s. I used to take care of, you know, special needs folks. And
so there's erotica Madonna? Not quite bedtime generation? Stories?
This would have been like 1991, 92.
Bedtime Stories is the first weak link in the Madonna chain.
Okay.
That's when that was like the first time. It was like post Nirvana. Mm-hmm. Sorry, buddy.
And she was, I was sitting there like, you know, I'm taking care of this. Her son's in a, you know, is quadriplegic. And she was, we were talking about Madonna and she's like, that woman is such a fucking whore. She'd stick money up her twat and set it on fire if she could make more money. And I was, this woman's like 62 years old.
Was she Italian? She was,
no, well, you know, say that a little slower because I really want to.
She's like, Madonna is such a fucking whore. She would stick money up her twat and set it on fire if she thought she could make more money from it. And, you know, I was flabbergasted. But that's part of the thing, though, is like when you swear, though, it's because you're breaking these taboos. And I guess she felt like intimate enough and to do that. And so when you when you break a taboo like that, it's kind of like saying, like, you know, we're in this together. We have that special relationship. And that's why I think cursing really does work on this podcast, because podcasts in their nature are most podcasts are kind of a very intimate experience, whereas it's not broadcast. It's not a television. It's not a radio where other people come in. It's usually one person listening to it at a time. And so there's that sense of intimacy.
And I guess on Netflix and Amazon Prime and
the cable TV shows now, they do swearing, right?
Everybody's swearing. Well, like RuPaul likes to say, don't fuck it up. And on Logo, when you watch it's bleeped.
Yeah.
But if you buy it like on iTunes, then you can hear RuPaul saying fuck.
Whoa.
Woo! Well,
you know, or you can go into a back alley and WeHo and hear her say fuck.
So comedian George Carlin's famous for having this really brilliant stand-up comedy routine back in the age of, before even cable was a thing, right?
Yeah, it was the late 80s or 70s.
What was it called?
The seven dirty words you can't say on television.
And what was the premise of it? He had sort of seven words that are banned off of television, broadcast television, and he was sort of explaining what those words say about us as a society.
Yeah, it was 1972, and it actually became like a. It became such a big thing that it was because the Supreme Court had that famous thing of like, I don't know pornography, but I know when I see it.
Obscenity or something like that. Yeah.
And so they started doing things because it's a shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker.
Mm-hmm. You have this memorized?
Yes. Shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker.
Is it like written on a tattoo somewhere?
All comedians know it.
Everyone knows this.
But if you're a stand up comedian, you sort of should know this, right? If you're like a comedy nerd.
Sure. I don't know. I don't know anymore because it is from the 70s. But and also you can say say tits possibly. I mean, it depends on what the television station is. But
cable is anything goes these days.
And what do those words say about us as a society? Why are we like focusing on those and not like, you know, you son of a bitch or douchebag?
Well, bitch, it's a weird thing. Hell is the one that is the most okay to say on television. And by television, I mean network broadcasting.
Like, go to hell.
Yeah, hell, and then damn. And I guess because both of those are biblical words, they're in the Bible, so it's okay. But
It's our mores have changed over time. They used to not be able to say those kinds of things. You know, swear words back in the old days were often based around religion. And other languages, like in French, a lot of those still are based around religion.
Well, in the episode City on the Edge of Forever in the original Star Trek, Kirk says, let's get the hell out of here.
Mm-hmm.
So Kirk liked to say hell a lot.
Well, he had just killed Joan Collins, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Edith Keeler,
but he's always like, go to hell. I think he said that to God in the movie.
He said, what does God need with a starship? And he's like, yeah, but
he did tell God in that movie to
he
go
wasn't
to hell.
Really God,
it but I know we've well spoiler alert God. Hello,
it was an alien that wanted to get
so
out
anyway
well, but yeah, and then bitch was the third one. Mm-hmm. Bitch is like as far as they were able to push it, and then after the Sopranos on HBO, they were trying to get more, I don't know, so cable, because cable shows, they have advertisers, but they don't have to follow FCC guidelines for profanity. So
it's not over airwaves. It's channeled in. So you're making a conscientious choice. You're not accidentally going to hear it.
So they just self-police themselves. But after that, they started using shit and pussy and like everything but fuck. Mm-hmm. Well, and cunt. Cock. No, they would say cocksucker. But like it was something like there's a bunch of stuff like you. Howard Stern would often talk about this and it would go on. But like things like you're allowed to say like titty bar, but you can't say titty. Like you can't say like, wow, she's got nice titties. But you can say we went to a titty bar. Mm-hmm. Like that was OK with FCC guidelines.
Well, that's the thing about taboo things like these words are taboo because we say they're taboo. And that's the whole idea of like breaking them. You're saying something that we weren't supposed to be saying. And I understand like some of our swear words like fuck and cunt are old English words. And then when the French, the Normans invaded England, they came over and they brought like the wealth of the vocabulary with them. And so a lot of those words got replaced by different words, you know, like cunt became vagina. And so like if you said cunt, which was normally just a regular word, you were, you know, it was like something the lower class people would say.
In the 1980s, we were fascinated with the Benny Hill show. Mm-hmm. Yakety sax. And that's fast action.
And the old old man in bras. Mm-hmm.
And he's smacking him on the back of the head.
Yeah, they used to play that on PBS before old Doctor Who, Tom Baker, mm-hmm. the fourth Doctor, before they would play Tom Baker, and as a kid, I would always like it because women, British buxom blonde women, they wouldn't show boobs fully. Oh,
yes, they would completely. I was watching with my brother one time, and my mother walked into the room. She goes to my father, Tom, they're watching breasts on television. And we're like,
nice.
My older brother kind of scared me because we thought that those ending scenes where they're being chased by a gorilla across the fields of England. And Benny Hill smacking that old guy. I said, who's that old guy? He's like, that's his dad. But, you know, because we knew that the Benny Hill shows were reruns. Mm-hmm. And so we're like, what happened to them today? He's like, he smacked them in the head so many times he died.
And they showed that on the episode. Yeah. His skull was fractured. They just fell and he was twitching. It was a really scary episode.
Was that really his dad?
I don't think so. No, it was just an old actor. But one thing that I was always sort of stunned by was the use of the word bloody as a cuss word. You know, it's like, blood, go to bloody hell, tra-la-lee, tra-la, because he would sing these songs and the audience would react, ooh, he said bloody. And I was kind of researching this for the show. I guess the whole use of the word bloody as a cuss word has to do nothing with women's menstrual cycles or anything. It was Jack the Ripper affected Edwardian British society so much that the act of bleeding became a cuss word.
Oh, yeah. I know Mary Kelly, who is the most famous Jack the Ripper victim. And if you Google her, you can see her horrifying death picture, which is, he really spent a long time on her. But she screamed out, oh, murder. And apparently I think that's what has gotten connected to the bloody murder thing, but I'm really not sure. And whatever, someone might be listening and be like, that's not it, you fucking idiot. Well, because he swears a lot.
The BBC just did an article on swearing, and they like to take out the like if it's the word fuck, they take out the U and put a little, you know, asterisk in there to soften the blow so that people are less affected by it, and so they don't see it as harsh, you know, out of respect. So that's one of the
things. And obviously, but this is in print, not when they're broadcasting.
Yeah, well, that's why they'll bleep it out.
Okay.
But they say also, too, that there's a hierarchy to, like, you know, like these swear words or the, like, so, like, piss is like not like hold on a second
are you fucking confused
but
about
pissed, fucking also conflict. Like British people pissed is a slang for being drunk and just like the bloody thing. Austin Powers, the Spy Who Shagged Me, when that came out, like shag is a much harder swear word
than fucking.
Then I don't know how much it is, but like there was a British it's like cunt. Like cunt is a is like the worst word that's not a racial slur, like mm-hmm. the most offensive word for Americans. Mm-hmm. It is the number one. It goes past fuck. And in Europe or other places in there, like they just use it every 5 seconds and mm-hmm. it doesn't mean the same type of thing.
Now, go ahead with your BBC.
So this is what they said, that there's a hierarchy of effluvius. That's the stuff that comes out of your body. So it's according to how disgusting we find them in public. So shit is worse than piss, which is worse than fart, which is worse than spit, which is not a taboo word at all. And so it's an interesting linguistic hypothesis that the taboos relate to how disease-ridden or dangerous or how disgusting we find the effluvia themselves.
So like, snot-nosed little
snot-nosed gross. It's not as bad as like spit, but like, and piss is okay because, you know, piss is, you know, relatively clean, right? Mm.
So in the future, if tuberculosis becomes a very deadly disease once again because of antibiotics.
Grinder.
Or whatever, will we be saying snot will be more of a cuss word than, say, bloody or something like that?
But how is bloody not, like, when everything can be, like, that's like the transmitter. I would, whatever. I mean, but I guess snot, what if I'm like, oh, you germ? But mm-hmm. I guess that's not a fluid. Mm. But, yeah, I think cum is worse than blood. I don't know what. I guess shit is definitely the worst. And then I guess, no, blood. What are
you, but you can catch HIV from breast milk, according to when you go get tested for HIV, they quiz you on that. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm a gay man. I'm not going to be breastfeeding anything.
You never
know. Some of those muscle guys you hook up with lactate.
The best way to get a negative is to not go to the HIV clinic. And then if you don't tell them, then you'll never be. Ever. You'll never get it.
Ignorance is bliss.
Yeah, remember that.
In Spanish, I grew up in Puerto Rico. One of the most common words I heard was coño, which is, I guess, in researching for the show, coño means cunt. But we always thought of it as fuck, the equivalent of fuck. You know, it was just one of those words you're not supposed to say. But all the men, all the women, everybody in my family said it, you know, and we were not supposed to say it.
My friend who was from Peru, she absolutely hated that word. She's just like, don't ever say that word. People that use that word are very, very trashy.
My father loves to say, hijo de la gran puta, which is you son of a bitch, of the greatest bitch. One expression that I have heard, but I seldom hear anymore, is me cago en la leche, which is it literally translates to I shit in the milk, but it also can be interpreted as I shit on your cum.
Whoa.
La leche meaning the leche from your dick.
Ooh.
And then the more religious ramifications are me cago en la hostia, which is I shit on the communion host.
What?
And then the more complete one that combines all the cuss words is me cago en la hostia de tu puta madre, carajo.
Jesus.
Now, carajo was an island that was very far off the remote coast, I believe, of South America. And it was kind of meant to be sort of a prank or a wild goose chase to send somebody from the colonies to the island of carajo. So when you said somebody, vete para el carajo, means go to hell, basically go to the middle of nowhere. And so when we were kids, we always knew that was a cuss word. And my half-sister, Jaji, she pointed out on a map that carajo is an island, and you can say that. And you're not actually cussing because you're actually talking about geography.
It's like bastard. You can say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, bastard is one of those soft swear words.
Well, these things, they kind of lose their meaning after a while because you just don't even really call people bastards much anymore. But back in the day, I mean, if you were a bastard, if your parents weren't married, if you were illegitimate, they don't even call you that, or a love child. You know, it could be detrimental to your social upbringing. Like, it would be hard finding a husband or a wife, you know, trying to make your way in the world. People would talk about you behind your back. Oh, my God, he's got no father. But now it's like nobody cares.
In Thailand, it's very important to keep your mother and your father's name private, especially their nicknames, because people and this is also used in China as well, in other Asian countries, to insult somebody is to call them by their parents' name. And like when my parents got divorced, like people would insult me Be like, okay, Gonzalo, you know? And I was like, as an adult, I was like, that's a really terrible thing to say to a child, you know? Even if your parent
Wait, what is Gonzalo?
My father's name.
Oh, how the hell would we?
I don't
know. I guess Mark would know that. You're like,
sorry about that. You know, like, what's your father's name, Brian?
Gonzalo. This is, wait a minute, Fausto?
Your father's name is Gonzalo. What's your dad's name?
Ted.
Ted.
I'd be like, what?
It wasn't a big thing in my family either, but like my friend's family, like my friend's little brother would always go, their mother's name was Joan. And you'd tell him something. He's like, whatever, Joan. And you're like, all right.
Joan the whore.
But he also came up with a good swear word. He heard Grace Jones talk about her breastplate on Johnny Carson. So he just started calling people a breastplate as a swear word. Whatever, breastplate.
Mark, you spent some time in Germany.
I did.
In a German.
And Germans love to cuss about not necessarily fluids or body part or sex, but about animals.
Well, they're very close to their animals there.
Yeah. Yeah. So what is it? Ether, Mutter, Socks, Wein? I'm sorry if I'm
Your mother suckles pigs.
And what's Mark, you're better pronouncing German. What about you, pig? How would you say
Schwein.
That? Der Schwein.
Offen Schwanz. You have an ape dick.
That's probably a good thing, right?
Ape dick is, well, I don't know. Ape sticks are actually quite small.
And what's like the most small. Complete cuss mm-hmm. that you can have?
Oh, God, what the craziest one? Well, there's one, it's Du bist ein Arschvergiftet. I can't even say it anymore. It's been too long.
Du bist ein say it slower.
You are a chicken that got fucked in the ass.
Oh.
You know, I know some gay men.
You son of a motherless goat. That was in Three Amigos.
Oh, yeah.
You son of a motherless goat. He called me a cabron. Son of a motherless
yeah,
goat.
Yeah, in Puerto Rico, un cabron is a goat man or something.
A lot of goat stuff.
Yeah.
Chupacabra. Is that around you at all?
You know, was that chupacabra is an X-Files thing. Yeah. And there was a little bit of tabloid television mm-hmm. about what this chupacabra was. There were people believed it was a wild animal that had been bitten by a vampire and was killing, mm-hmm. you know, livestock.
And people were afraid.
And then other people thought it was a UFO alien that mm-hmm. had been abandoned on Earth like E.T., but it was a vampire mm-hmm. instead of one that ate Reese's Pieces.
The goat sucker.
When I first moved here to Chicago, I was doing some catering, and most of the people in the kitchen were Mexican. And we kept joking about this one girl being the chupacabra. And she went into the bathroom and started crying, and she was mad. And people were like, quit calling her the chupacabra. It's like she's terrified.
Why was that? What was that X-Files so important? Because that starred the chupacabra.
This was actually a thing that happened before that X-Files thing.
But the chupacabra episode starred the guy who played Tico in Breaking Bad.
Yes.
And he was the chupacabra.
His name was Soledad.
Soledad.
And he goes to the door. Soledad, they say that you are the chupacabra. And he's like, no. And he was so cute back then. Oh, my God.
Tight.
He was Tuco was in Better Call Saul.
Yeah. Oh, he's a great actor.
Yeah.
As that same character, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah, where's his Oscar?
Where's Danny Trejo's Oscar? Danny Trejo is a national treasure.
He sure is.
Andy and I have the same birthday. One of many things Danny Trejo and I have in common. Oh. Yes.
And what are some of the others?
We both have tattoos all over our body, gang affiliations, did time in prison.
And doesn't your girlfriend also call you Machete?
She does. Machete don't text. Machete don't tweet. That's what he said. Part
now,
two.
What about French? The French, they like to say merde.
Right? Well, that's shit. Right. But it's, you know, I don't think it is as hard as a word as it is in English.
Oh, like merde? You know? There was...
like mierda.
Captain Picard said that in like two episodes.
Oh,
because
he
was... Because like... In the beginning, they were supposed to, because he's like French or whatever, mm-hmm. but then they just dropped
they gave
that.
Up on that.
Yeah, and he was like, I'm French. My name is Jean-Luc Picard.
I think they wanted somebody with a French accent, didn't they?
Yeah, I'm probably. They also wanted someone with hair. Mm-hmm. That's a true thing. Like, that was the big thing. Like, when
they had him audition with a wig, right?
Yes. He had a wig in the first place, and then like they saw him without the wig, and Gene Roddenberry was like, I don't want you to have a bald guy. This guy is supposed to be me and cool, like me. And then they hired him because they were like, well, you're Patrick Stewart, whatever, the end. Star Trek.
Doom.
But so initially he was cussing in French.
Jean-Luc. He said mirror, like there's like two episodes where he just like says
he also wore a dress.
Well,
one episode he wore his formal attire mm-hmm. was a skirt. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a bunch of episodes yeah. where he wears mm-hmm. the formal attire. Mm-hmm. They also had the formal attire in the original mm-hmm. series. They didn't have the dress.
And Gene Roddenberry was the one who pushed for that. So was Gene Roddenberry?
Skorts. That was what he called them. Yeah.
And was he into like cross dressing, or was there like a gender bending aspect to Gene Roddenberry's sensibilities?
Oh, no, he was all about fucking pussy constantly. Like he fucked everything. That was a big thing of him. He was a man with big appetites.
Did he like wearing kilts?
No, it was because they were just trying to figure out. He had this idea like since everything is going to be like accepted in the future, like no one will care about sex. Sex isn't a big deal. People just have sex whenever they want to and leave. And it's not a big deal for anyone. No emotional hangups. It's just a middle-aged man trying to come up with the perfect lies for his wife. But that was the Star Trek
guy.
And so he, Majel, not Nish, but he did fuck Nichelle Nichols. But yeah. But
he did?
Yeah.
But when?
This show's getting much more exciting.
During the Star Trek, the original series.
How Who didn't he fuck?
How do you know?
Nichelle Nichols, I don't know. Really? He didn't fuck. He fucked most people.
Oh.
Except George Takei. Not Takei.
He wasn't touching me.
Takei means expensive. Takei. No, but he's, so shorts mixed with skirts would be what the new thing is.
Well, in French, like some of those things that you might think is a swear word or something like that is like not necessarily. Like if they describe their apartment or like if it's dirty, you describe it as a bordello here. Like you'd say, oh, you know, like a whorehouse. But they say, OK, bordello, you know, like my house is a mess. It's a whorehouse. And like
that's
most people,
cool, though.
You know, and most people say, and it's not like looked down upon. It's not like it's not a trashy way of speaking.
OK, yeah. So it would say on the news.
Well, it would be a mother talking to her kids and stuff like that.
So to wrap it up, mm-hmm. will we be cussing more in the news? I just feel like with Trump as president, it just seems like everything's gotten much more vulgar, much more raunchier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In formal spaces.
But it's also, I mean, everything is, I mean, Trump
has changed.
Trump,
hasn't
yeah.
It?
Trump has destroyed everything about social mores and what we once thought. But like the pussy tape. It started back, like, I remember with Bill Clinton and the Monica Lewinsky shit, like, they were talking about fucking blowjobs on the news, and, like, they were like, blowjobs or whatever, and then you just keep going, and finally we're with someone who's like, you can do anything, grab by the pussy, and then, like, in Saturday Night Live that week when, after the pussy, grabbing by the pussy tape came out, they like said pussy like 5,000 times, and because they knew that like you can get away with this now or whatever, like because it's a news story. Like it's all these stupid things. Like it's okay because it's a news story, so we'll just say pussy all the time. But again, like what you were saying, like it's the taboos. Everything about society and our civilization is agreed upon stuff. Just like money is just paper, but we assign it. Value, but value doesn't really mean anything. If we all just said no, then everything collapses. So, like, we have to have these things and pretend. And so, yeah, just don't swear around your mom.
Either. Meanwhile, Andrew Dice Clay is like,
oh,
you
fucking hoo,
pussy.
Oh,
he's like Andrew Dice Clay. Actually, was interviewed recently, and I just was kind of struck about how tame. This very controversial, obscene, offensive comedian in the 80s was. I mean, Nora Dunn quit Saturday Night Live because of him.
Yeah, but now, as we've seen with the assholes, like, the way to be offensive is just by attacking people or racist comments or transphobia. Like, that's the way to do it. Because the words and talking about, like, pussies and tits and stuff, like, that doesn't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, because that's all been done. So, like, now people have to keep finding, like, well, what is the thing that will shock people and be like, oh, my word. And that's, yeah, being a terrible person and making jokes about throwing people in the ovens and raping women. Like,
what's more shocking to you, Two Girls, One Cup or Tub Girl?
What's Tub Girl and what's Two Girls, One Cup for people not familiar with that?
They should just Google it.
Yeah.
Well, Two Girls, One Cup is two women like pooping into a cup, putting in their mouth and then vomiting on it and all that stuff.
And then eating
tub
it again.
Girl was what?
A girl like doing a handstand in a bathtub and like just shit spewing out.
Yeah, but it looked like Sunny Delight, like her like orange juice. But Tub Girl was.
And these are viral videos that. Yeah.
Tub Girl was just a picture, but and it's impossible to tell you, like, explain if you're not, yeah, goatsy. If you're not of, like, a certain age before, like, the internet was prevalent, all over the place, then you
pervasive.
Don't, pervasive, that's the word, I'm perverted, that's the word. But, when Tub Girl was shown, it was like, God, that's the grossest thing that we could ever see. There's nothing possible. Mm-hmm. And then, like, Goatsy was showing. We're like, oh, that's the grossest thing. And they just kept moving. And now, like, Two Girls, One Cup comes out. And it's, like, it's gross, but it's also...
Well, you could show it to your mom.
Yes. It's more like, yeah, you sit down and have a nice brunch and watch Two Girls, One Cup.
Well, it seems like with the corporate dominance of social media and the internet, the ability to share truly raunchy, disturbing, and offensive images is kind of diminished quite a bit, right? It's like you don't see the Tub Girls and the Two Girls One Cup on Facebook.
No, you can't, because yeah, it's like they'll close your account for 30 days.
You can, I mean, you can put it on Twitter, but like, what's the point? Like, it's, and now, like, if you go on 4chan, which is where, like, off the place to be offended.
Is anybody on 4chan still?
Oh, I'm sure, a ton
of people.
I went try to get on that, and I was just like, this seemed like I was reading code.
That is what, yeah.
It's very hard to make sense of it.
It's a bunch of people that are very upset that they can't get laid, so they want a patriarchy because they don't understand what patriarchy means. They think patriarchy means just women having sex with you and not you have to constantly work and die at 50. Anyway, so they just put up pictures, but they'll put up pictures of like kids that are dead in Palestine, or like a kid that was hit with a cluster bomb and he's just like a piece. He's just meat strewn about. So like, it's not even like fun shocking. It's just like, this has absolutely, like, there's no value to it. Like, or a beheading video or something. Like, that's the offensive thing we are now. Like, it's just pure nihilism and nothing, like, exciting or fun. It's just like, look at this guy get his head cut off. And that's it. Like, so, Tub Girl is a throwback to a much more innocent time. It really is. Like, where it's... And, like, a video of, like, a Japanese woman shooting, like, eels out of her vagina. Like, that's, like, things that you're like, holy
shit.
The
good old days.
Yes, because you watch that, and it's not just, like, a child being shot in the face. Like, that's just, like, yeah, God damn, and you can't sleep. But, like, a girl, Japanese woman shooting eels out of her vagina is like, I gotta show this to everyone and watch their reaction.
Well, it's even, like, those police videos of people being shot, you know, and they're no threat to the police officer, and it's live streaming on Facebook and that's going viral. But there's those viral obscene videos of the past. There's a little bit of joy in that, in the sense that the people who are in the video, it liked what they were doing. They were not suffering necessarily, except, you know, the jar guy and the, what was the
one guy, one jar,
one jar.
And then he sits on a jar and it breaks
but it's still, even then, it still seemed like something he enjoyed doing.
And
you know?
It's also kind of like Jackass. Like, he knew
it was Jackass. Yeah.
Like, you know, this jar could break. Like, mm-hmm. That's part of the,
there's a lot
excitement.
Of speculation that it was a setup too.
Well,
like,
whatever. But it is like the Faces of Death movies that used to be. They were just compilations of people being killed and dying on video. But they just become like boring after a while. And that is like the big thing of these types of nihilistic videos, where you just get completely desensitized and bored to it. Like, so... Mm-hmm. If you just keep watching people get their heads cut off, or like what I was saying about like a cluster bomb, like it just looks like meat. So you're very able to move away from it. Ha ha ha.
Let's talk about the Oscars. What are they calling the ending where Faye Dunaway was embarrassed in front of the media?
The great Oscar fuck up of 2017.
I would call it gay men's happiest moment in the past 12 years.
Well, yes,
more
and no.
So,
why
would you
a lot
feel
of gay
that?
Men like Supreme, La La Land.
The Supreme Court, marriage, no. They got to see
Faye Dunaway,
two of Hollywood royalty, screw up beyond belief in a national audience and then watch them fump a ring. And then they all got to talk about it on social media and gay it up like the gays. Mm. That's what you guys love.
I gotta say, when that happened,
Mommy Dearest Herself.
I was saying thank you. There is a God.
I told you
because it was the Oscars, and you know, with President Trump and the and these fascist Russian Republicans taking over our government. You know, in the past, Republicans try to make American 1% wealthy people rich. Now these Republicans are trying to make Russian 1%ers rich. They're not even in this country. And so the whole thing about the Oscars was so depressing and sad, and this, you know, Trump casting this really grim shadow. And then at the end, this, you know, kind of nutty screw up, you know, I felt like Jimmy Kimmel was behind it, but it actually was a genuine mistake.
Well, it is kind of, I'm sorry, but it is kind of scary.
It was magical.
But when you think about like how much like this has happened with like the election, with the
elections
Super Bowl,
have been ruined.
Like,
oh,
yeah. With like all of these things that
these
just
turn-ups.
Turn at the last second.
It's like Mercury's in retrograde, and I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, it is just a weird thing that like this keeps happening, and yeah, I'm sure that people would be like, this happens all the time, and they point to it. Never on such a huge stage has it happened just constantly.
Yeah,
like the
election, Super Bowl,
blowing the
Oscars.
Lead type. There's another, the Warriors or
the
something.
The Cubs won.
Fucking the Cubs won. Like the Cubs won everything. Like that was the one
thing. I
didn't feel
that was an upset. I felt that was destiny.
The Cubs losing everything was like the key that was holding reality together. And then they won.
Yeah.
And then every single thing started falling apart.
Mm.
The fabric of time and space.
Moonlight playwright here from Chicago, Terrell Alvin McCraney.
Woo.
In his, you know, he was hustling at the last second before
get out there and give a speech.
Give us very second speech. This is what he wanted to say. Black and brown boys and girls and gender nonconforming who don't see themselves. We're trying to show you and us, this is for you. They're saying that they are the future.
Mm. What about me and Mark? Fuck that, man. I love
I totally related to that movie because, like, you know, they're saying that a lot of people saying, well, if you don't get the movie, it's because you don't have empathy. And, you know, definitely I have empathy for the characters, but it also, too, in many ways, I see myself in it because, you know, you have this young guy who's constrained. You know, he's constrained by his sexuality. He's
tied down.
Know? He is, basically. In the movie, and you see, it's like he can't contain it. And that's why, you know, he has that nocturnal emission.
Yeah,
it's gonna come out, and that's how you have to take that as a metaphor for yourself. Is like you have to look into yourself and say, how am I like constrained, and what is the real me, and how do I bring that out?
Jerking baby, you don't want to see me cut loose. Let's just put it that way.
I will be tying little boys down and coming everywhere. If Mark says,
okay,
it,
Milo.
Mark said, make sure to constrain as many boys as possible. Come all
that.
Over them at
I
night.
Didn't say that.
You just said that. You said that. Make sure that you stay true to yourself and come on boys.
Yeah, you said the comic.
Oh. By boys, I mean over 18.
Mm-hmm. I like the title of the original play that inspired the film. Mm-hmm. In Moonlight, black boys look blue.
And you know what it makes it remind me of is like, I think it was you the one that told me this, Foster, that ninjas in Japan, you think of them as wearing black outfits, but they really wear like a midnight blue outfit because at nighttime, blue masks better than black.
And then they come all over themselves.
I've never let anyone touch me like you touched me.
The stars of the movie Moonlight now, the adult stars, not the children in the movie, the boys,
teenage boys.
I guess they are now modeling in their underwear or something.
Klein.
The Calvin Klein ads. Because that actor, the one with the grill on his teeth, had a banging body.
Oh,
I mean, I was like, the movie just got interesting. You know what I'm saying? You're like, yeah, crack mom. Yeah, getting beaten.
Oh, he's hot now?
I was like, oh, okay.
Well, it's very important. Yes, you can think he's attractive, but just don't fetishize him as a black guy. He's a person first. And
no, I'm fetishizing him because of his muscularity first.
And then he's black.
You know, I could take it or leave it. To me, it's like, it's all about the muscle.
Black muscle.
I'm like, I will have sex with a female bodybuilder. I'm into my, like, as a gay man, you know, it's like, I know some gay guys, who are like so hot muscle chasers that they, you know, normally they only, you know, the gold star gays, they don't see women sexually, but they will have sex with a female bodybuilder just because she's jacked.
That's why I'm getting muscles, but I have lean muscles. I don't have like the bodybuilder. I got to hit up Steamworks. Why don't you guys ever take me?
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, are we not? Was it a secret fucking knock knock code? I didn't know.
I don't know. I have no idea.
I thought it was a gym.
I have no.
Where nothing.
You need to go to a gym and you need to lift weights because resistance training is the key to health and longevity.
I do the resistance training. I do resistance all the time.
No resistance training is futile for a healthy body.
Resistance is futile.
There's a politician in Sweden who wants to have sex being one of the approved activities for civil servants in their town. So during their lunch break. So they already have some things like you can go get a massage, you can go to the gym, you can have lunch on your lunch break. He wants to make it okay to like go home and have sex.
How long is their lunch break?
Probably like 5 hours. They live next to the Arctic Circle, so it might be like a month.
Oh, because they have like 24 hours of day. Yeah. 24 hours
when,
of night.
When I spent a summer in Germany, like a lot of the retail stores and restaurants, they shut down for 2 hours in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And in Mexico and Spain, there's the afternoon siesta, man.
That's why you guys lost the war. America first. Thank you.
Yeah, good for you, bro.
Thank you. Make America great again.
Before we stop, move on to talking about the Oscars, though, the In Memoriam, the two really interesting things. I guess somebody didn't die who was in it.
So somebody did die, but they showed a picture of somebody else that was in the same movie with the person that died. People are like, oh, I know that lady. She's not
dead. Drew Barrymore.
So, are you watching Santa Clarita Diet?
I haven't. I'm going to.
So if you see yourself in the In Memoriam, like, does that mean you're going to die soon, or what does that mean?
It'd be cool if they had, like, they showed a person, like, sitting, and then they're like, what? And then you just see a knife going into their face, and then they cut away real quick. And so everyone's like, wait, did I just see that? But no one knows. I guess they see that you're getting stabbed in the face.
So this person who hadn't died, photo was worked into the In Memoriam, and then I guess Alexis Arquette, transgender actor, her sister, Patricia Arquette, is mad as hell that Alexis was excluded from that.
She said, I was really pissed off at the Academy left out my sister Alexis in the memoriam because Alexis had a great body of work, but Alexis was one of very few trans artists that worked in the business.
And
Last Exit to Brooklyn, I think, and a couple of other things, right?
She was in Xena, the Warrior Princess.
Well, she was in a lot of stuff.
Wigstock, the movie.
She was in a lot of stuff like that. She would just like sort of have like a quick scene or like, hey, she was in that movie. She was like Party Goer 3 who like stood next to David Arquette or something.
But I think, Alexis Arquette had significant contributions.
Oh, no,
to films.
I wasn't saying that. I was saying that she had like a huge, not only did she like, yes, she had a lot of stuff, but she was also in a lot of movies that you wouldn't know that she was in.
And I would argue that probably the Academy Awards that puts together those montages are just kind of like, you know, hustling and they're kind of putting together whatever made the news. And I don't know if Patricia or David Arquette actually lobbied or notified them that, hey, our you know, sibling Alexis passed. Please make sure to include them in your montage. Mm-hmm.
But also, I mean, she should have been in there because of how few trans actors and actresses are at all represented, so that's the big thing.
Diversity is important.
Yes, but also like the way that they could argue it is just that every single celebrity died in 2016, so some people have to make the cut and some people don't. But that argument also doesn't hold water when you look at the people that they do include, and
because you're like, who are they?
But they didn't have like
Paxton.
Bill Paxton died that
morning.
But there is always every single and they should have definitely had Alexis Arquette because of her and her high profile as a trans person. But every single year after the Academy Awards, there are always people that are like, hey, what about this person that died?
What about Joan Rivers? Yeah,
so this does happen all the time, but I think that Alexis should have definitely been in there.
You know, and speaking of trans visibility, Laverne Cox was in a TV show. I didn't even know she was in a new TV show.
It's a singular, not plural.
Yeah, Laverne's
Cox.
Welcome to Laverne's Cox Emporium. Come down for all your cocks need this Saturday.
In Chicago, we tend to pluralize things.
Free balloons and so that's a phenomenal, for the kids. Yeah.
The jewels.
Laverne Cox.
Yeah. So anyway, she was in a TV show called Doubt with Katherine Heigl. And I guess people really hate Katherine Heigl now.
People hate Katherine Heigl. They were
like, what happened? She was America's sweetheart for a while.
The Grey's Anatomy, like people liked her for like a second on Grey's Anatomy. Mm-hmm. And then there became this weird, or not weird, I don't know. Everyone was just like, she's a real bitch. Like that was always the thing about her. But then I think also like her mom or her father like fucked up her career also. Like they were like constantly like demanding more money. But I think the big thing, she was always rumored to be difficult during Grey's Anatomy. Mm-hmm. But I think it was like Shonda Rhimes even like said like, yeah, she sucks. Like she said it in a nice way, but then like she wanted to come back and she's like, fuck that. Fuck Katherine Heigl.
Well, I guess they did tape a bunch of episodes, but it got canceled, I guess, in quotes, after two episodes. It just wasn't doing well in the ratings at all. And this, there is talk that they might bring it back like midsummer. Well, they've already paid for it, you know?
That's what they used to do. They'd burn off TV shows. Mm-hmm. They would show them, but who the fuck is watching Doubt?
You know, it's about lawyers.
What channel was it on?
It was on CBS.
No one's watching that shit.
No, Katherine nobody's watching it.
She had another show.
She did?
Kevin Heigl has another. Yeah, and she's got the movie coming out with Rosario Dawson that everyone should go.
Oh, is that the?
It looks so bad. It looks great. Like, it looks terrible. Like, it looks so terrible in a good way. Mm. Where, like, she's her ex-husband. She's still in love with and she's going to, like, kill Rosario Dawson for her.
I want to remind folks that Feast of Fun is made possible because of generous support of amazing, wonderful people like you. Those of you who go to our site and become a premium member and access 13 years of award-winning podcasts at feastoffun.com/plus, you ensure that this podcast is around for future years to come. I mean, we've been around. And we've watched the internet grow and change, and we want to be around, and we know you guys want us to be around in the future. So please take a moment and become a member or make a one-time contribution at feastoffun.com/donate.
I want to remind folks, too, that we've got t-shirts for sale in our store, feastoffun.com/store. Get your not shaving gives me more time for a misbehaving t-shirt.
Hey, I want to do a plug. Please.
All right. Let's hear it, baby.
Plug it up.
Plugs. The book that I worked on, Trump's America, has been republished by Simon and Schuster, who are great and they're great people. And the book is called Trump's America, Buy This Book and Mexico Will Pay For It.
Yeah.
And it has a new cover and a new glossy finish on the inside, glossy pages, and it's available wherever books are sold, and right now it's only on Amazon for a scant $13.38, and it's available for Prime, so you can get it delivered tomorrow for free with qualifying orders over $35. And so you should buy it.
Did you have to change anything for the reproduction, or did they have to change things? Or
make his hands bigger?
They did have to make his hands bigger, and we had all a bunch of No, we didn't have.
There is
one thing. Yes, we had to. There's the penis page. We had to take out the penis page.
Oh, so that was mostly your work too, wasn't it?
That was
you're the one who came up with that.
Yeah, that was my. That was me.
And so why did they take it out?
Because Simon Schuster said no penis stuff, guys. And we said all right. And so they took that out. But now it can be at like Barnes and Noble and Target or whatever. Okay. But if you buy the book and tweet at me or message me or something, I'll send you the dick page with the original.
Brian sent a dick pages.
Yeah, I'll send you the original thing of Trump's penis.
So before Trump's hand size and penis size was brought into question, you wrote all this hilarious material about it.
It's one page, but yes.
And then it was kind of prophetic. The whole book is prophetic.
Yes, it is disturbing how much has already come true in it. And it's also sad if you go back and listen to the episodes that I've been on where I've spoken about Trump and what was going to happen. how I was right about everything, and it's terrible.
As usual, no, right about this, everything and bragging about it.
This is not bragging. I was told that I was being a downer and cynical. So, but Trump is great, and the book is great. It's a parody book. It's written by
for amusement purposes.
And it's written by the great minds of involved in Second City and The Onion. And the longest running editor-in-chief and co-founder of The Onion, Scott Dickers.
I want you to write a book, Brian, about how Feast of Fun is going to be, like, getting all these amazing donations and coming up with really hilarious and magical video and audio projects in the near future.
Well,
because if you're going to, if you're like this, you know, if you write it, the it becomes true, like the never-ending story.
Oh, and The Secret?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we can, yeah, we're working on big things at Feast of Fun Laboratories.
We sure are.
And we're going to, yeah, you guys are going to be really happy with what we have here. And we're going to all be coming and having nocturnal missions tonight. So as we make the, or as we call it, making the bad pancake. And so as we do that, folks, I want you.
Bad pancake.
What? And then so, yeah, so order and we will keep putting out great product. And we have other stuff coming up.
I want to do a shout out to the year 1997. I had just graduated from college and, you know,
from your master's degree,
from a master's degree. And, you know, and at that time, like drag queens and club kids were kind of one and the same thing. And a couple of internet phenomena and television programs all had high squeaky voices. One of them is the TV show Teletubbies, which celebrating 20 years now, was a British preschool's children television series created by Anne Wood and Andrew Davenport that featured five uniquely shaped antenna alien-like characters in a magical land where a baby as the sun giggled down upon them.
Aww. Yeah, and they spoke like...
That baby's 20 now. We have pictures of her.
Yeah.
She looks cute.
And you know, it was real, actually really controversial at the time because Newt Gingrich was saying that the Teletubbies was indoctrinating kids into being gay because there was a Tipsy Witsy was the purple one, which was, he said it was the color of the gay agenda.
The Lavender Menace.
The Lavender Menace wore had a male voice and carried a purse. Dun, dun,
dun. A can you believe that we're still fucking listening to that asshole? Like, that Newt Gingrich is still in our lives?
Ugh. He's not as into it as, like, you know.
That is
it was like a few years, like a year ago. Monster. He's kind of gotten away since Trump doesn't like him, right? Is that right?
He's always, no, he's a Trump surrogate. Oh. He's constantly.
One thing that was really memorable about the Teletubbies was in the middle of the show, their stomachs were TV screens and they would play a nonsensical, about a minute long video of a kid going, "This is my house and this is where I make, you know, pancakes with mommy," you know, and then the video would end and the kids would go again, and they would play the exact same thing again and again.
Kids love repetition. Like
kids
that.
Love repetition.
Yeah, like Barney happened and everyone was like, "This is as bad as it gets." And then Teletubby came out and they were like, "Oh no." And they put a shotgun in their mouth.
And you know, when Barney came out, Sesame Street were like shitting their pants. They were just like, "Oh my God." Cause they like Barney just took over the airwaves and like they were like, nobody was watching Sesame Street. So they really had to reinvent themselves. And they came up with Elmo, and Elmo brought the kids back to Sesame Street.
That was a little earlier. That was like 1993. Oh. But Teletubbies had this very obscene character called the Nunu.
Oh, yeah.
Where the Teletubbies inside their, you know, underground bomb shelter of a home. It was very strange because everybody's would always speculate that the Teletubby land was a post-apocalyptic Earth and that humanity had evolved into having TV sets into their stomachs. And inside their underground bomb shelter of a home, they would eat custard. Let's have custard, right? And they would always spill the custard, which had a very, you know, sexual thing to it. And so they would bring out this living vacuum cleaner called the Nunu. And it would
and suck up all the custard.
There's so much cum in this episode. Look that what you've done, Moonlight. Year. This is the post Best Picture Moonlight world we live in.
First time an LGBT film wins Best Picture.
Yeah. First time an all black cast.
Speaking of LGBT films.
New. Yeah. I actually had sex with a guy one time, and he was really into sucking custard. Up all the custard afterwards. And I said to him, I was like, you're just like the Nunu and Teletubbies. He didn't like that.
No, he didn't like that. He's still knocking on the door, though. And also, happy anniversary to Crazy Frog. Even though it probably just really didn't get famous until 2004, it was actually invented in 1997 by Daniel Melmedal. And he wanted to imitate the sound of an internal combustion engine. And he put it on his website. And then a Swedish TV channel said, hey, come perform this live for us. So he did. And then in 2003, another Swedish guy put it had a little frog with it, and that really just blew up. And then there was video games, and it became so many different people's like ringtones. You know what's so funny?
So he's singing. He said it's actually done by Swedish actor Eric Wernquist, who does the voice. And it initially became an internet sensation with it was a remix of the song Axel F from the movie Beverly Hills Cop,
Which we just watched.
Yes. And actually know how to play that on the piano.
Oh, you did?
In high school, I got the sheet music and I was like, I'm going to be cool. I'm going to learn how to play Axel F on the piano.
It's also 30 years to the day that Nightmare on Elm Street 3 Dream Warriors came out.
What the hell is that? Which movie is that one?
That's number three. It was kind of a reprieve after the second movie, which was so bad. And
gay.
It had the original girl,
Nancy
come Taylor back. Langenkamp. And she was in a mental hospital, right?
And Patricia Arquette's in it!
What?
She's the final girl!
In memoriam, Patricia Arquette.
And on Nerdist, he's a fun friend of the show and fan, Eric Diaz, wrote a thing about it.
He did?
Yeah. We called it the best horror sequel ever. So go read that.
I wouldn't know because our Facebook group, Friends of the Show, got taken down by Facebook, and it's still been about a month now, and they're not doing anything for it. So one thing I'd like to kick around and see if the listeners are interested in this is opening up forums on our website, feastoffun.com, that are that you can post content and interact with it off of your cell phone. Are you guys interested in having to see this happen? We're just throwing that out there. Let us know.
Mm-hmm. Talk to us, email us,
tweet. Comment below.
Yeah.
Comment
below. Or send me a Facebook message.
Yes.
Wherever you're subscribing to this.
Subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Brian Sweeney, I have to say, we have a lot of amazing guests and extraordinary people.
Why are you telling me this? I'm right here. Why do you have to rub this in?
And, when you came on the show, people were like, there was a couple of people.
What's that?
They were like, why are you having Brian Sweeney?
Oh, yeah. Why are you having Peaches Christ on?
Peaches Christ and Brian Sweeney were two of the most controversial guests we've ever had.
Are
two of the most loved and celebrated guests.
For sure.
And part of it is like you guys have stuck with us. You guys believe in what Feast of Fun is all about.
I value your opinion. I value you as people.
And I just want to say thank you for all these years of being on the podcast with us and humiliating yourself on the show.
Thank you. I've brought your favorite other guests like Meredith Ketchel.
Yeah, you told us get Meredith. Yeah,
get
Mateo Lane.
Before he became famous. Brokered the peace. Yeah, before now he just shows his butt. Like he's got a hell of an ass, man. Check out Mateo Lane's ass.
Is he showing pictures of it now?
Like on Instagram, he has like fully nude pictures of him, like from behind though. Showing
I'm just so mad that Mateo never put out. No matter how many times I try to hint at it.
Me too.
He used to be a prude, and I said, you will change when you get to New York because it's going to be a whole new, nobody's going to know you. There's going to be all that dick and ass everywhere.
And what happened?
And I'm sure,
MTV. He's a star.
He's a big star. Deal.
Who's the biggest star that's ever been on this podcast, like right now?
That wasn't a star and is now a star?
Yeah.
Cameron Esposito.
You think?
Yeah.
So Cameron definitely. Versus Mateo, who wins the fight?
Cameron Esposito, definitely.
Most of the gay guys don't know who Cameron Esposito is, though. They know who Mateo is.
Well, then what are you talking about? What are you saying with famous?
To our audience or generally speaking, You know what a good one audience. Is to look at their size of their Twitter
feed.
Your
audience is probably Sharon Needles then. I don't know.
Who's that?
Yeah, Cameron Esposito is in a Gary Marshall movie.
She
was in the last movie, Mother's Day. She's on Comedy Bang Bang all the time.
She never calls me anymore. Call me sometime, girl.
She's on CISO.
Why would you call
me? She has her own show on CISO, for Christ's sake.
CISO!
What?
People are like, who? What?
But I have a book.
Trump president.
I did.
I think that's fantastic.
You're welcome, everyone.
The other title you were working on is I think we should give Trump a break. Why America is too hard on our most brave, large-handed president.
Hey, you are a Bernie bro, man. Fausto.
The angry Bernie bros on the internet were mostly robots. Just so you know.
Oh, I guess that's even scarier.
That's the thing about that. This is why I kind of want to start forums too. Again, it's just like, I want to make it really hard for those Russian Republican bots. They've even started like conservative LGBT forums on Reddit, and they're like growing really big. And I'm just like, I think it's really unnerving to see LGBT people, whether they be real or digital or robotic, turning into this like neocon fascist Nazi organization.
But that's because that's how they're rebelling. That's it.
I don't think it's real people. And that's the problem is that I guess there's all this information that's being,
it's coming. I'm still trying to dissect that article of
there's all this information, coming out right now that not only besides the, you know, Russia's oligarchs and Putin's association with Trump and the Republicans, it's also that a lot of forums, a lot of websites, a lot of commenters have just given up. And it's basically like half the people that you're chatting with on these forums on Reddit are robots.
Hell yeah.
I want to go back to the days where like you were on a forums and in chat rooms and stuff like that. And it was actual real people.
That's done. Then like, if you want net neutrality, this is it. This is what happens. You can't have it both ways. Because who is going to decide who the gatekeeper is?
Well, you can curated forums on your own website, and that's what I want to do.
Well, yeah, but then you don't. All right. We'll get robots attacking us. We're better. Yes.
We'll get robots attacking us, but I have a couple of clever little tricks to make it difficult for robots.
Yeah. You're like John Connor.
Because they don't have dick pics.
Oh, so it's going to be like, put in the dick pic code? Mm-hmm. You'd be like, oh, which one of the, which picture has dicks in it? And then you have to pick the one to like, prove you're not a bot by sending me your dick and sucking this fucking cock, bitch.
Sometimes, that's all it takes. It's like,
prove you're not a bot by Skyping with me. Let me jack it, you fuck. Vladimir Putin. I'll take it.
For Mother Russia.
Oh, nieta.
Da.
Das Vidanya, folks.
Thank you so much for listening. Bye, everybody.
I crush you.